Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth
has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples
of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father,
and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them
to obey everything I have commanded you.
And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age."
Welcome to Exploring Missions, connecting mission needs with those equipped by God to meet those needs across the world or across town. And now, the host of Exploring Missions, Bert Harper.
Thank you for listening to Exploring Missions this weekend. We are so thankful that you would choose to do this, and we're hoping you're having a great day today, and we hope that God is using you in His kingdom work. We're on Exploring Missions today. Nathan, we have a returning guest that we always get excited about when we know this guest is coming.
Absolutely. Just a dear friend, his family, close friends with our family. And we are excited to not only be with him today, but also share with our audience, with our listeners, all that God is doing in his life, in his family's life, in their ministry and their work. And it's just a privilege and an honor to have Maurice Singh with us today. And I know as you listen, you will be blessed and God will speak to you in this next 30 minutes.
Yes, when we were first introduced to Maurice, he was, let me see, a teenager. And no longer a teenager, but has matured and just is growing in the Lord. And again, God brought us together. And now I want to take a time to do this a little bit. God takes time to introduce people, and sometimes there is a connector. In our case, there was this woman who was one of our dearest friends, one of my wife's mentors, and she had inherited a house that she used as a headquarters for missionaries. And these missionaries came, and they were a part of her life, and she invited us to meet them, and we invited them down to their house, and we were introduced to Maurice Singh and his family. Maurice, that was a good many years ago. Aren't we glad for people who connect people?
Absolutely. Those are divine appointments that God works.
He really does. I hadn't even thought about going that way until I started the introduction, and I said, you know, the person that has introduced them to one another, really God uses them. And I agree with you, Maurice, divine appointments they are. Well, you're with Look Unto Jesus Ministries International. Tell me a little bit about Look Unto Jesus Ministries International.
Look Unto Jesus Ministries International was originally founded in India, known as Look Unto Jesus Ministries. And it was founded in 1976. When my mom was a college student, God gave her a burden to reach the children that were on the streets of Bangalore, India. And she wanted to take the gospel to them and give them an education. And even though she was still a college student and her own parents, my grandparents, opposed the idea, God opened the door for her to go and minister to these children on the street. And so that is how Look Unto Jesus Ministries began. And now, over the last 48 years, the Lord has been growing the ministry in various ways. We continue to rescue children from Bangalore and around Bangalore from poverty, trafficking, abuse, and we have a home for them, we care for them, and we have a specific ministry for them. And over the last 48 years, we've rescued over 5,000 children. And along with that, my dad, who was a pastor, he also had a vision to reach the unreached communities in India with the gospel. And so he went to villages and shared the gospel and planted churches in many places. And so this is the foundation of what Look Unto Jesus Ministries began with, and we continue to do the same things. Along with that, we continue to train pastors now, and we train pastors to go into specifically the unreached and unengaged communities.
Yeah, Maurice, maybe take a few minutes and describe to us kind of the area, maybe geographically speaking, even maybe socially speaking, of the part of India where you are? Look Unto Jesus Ministries International means that your work in India, but it's also here in the U.S. There's a lot of work that you have done here in the U.S. But also, maybe our listeners need to understand that when you move from one state to another in India, that's almost going across national lines, almost. It's very cross-cultural work that you guys are a part of. So tell us where Bangalore is, maybe the state, but also some of the other states and reaches that your ministry touches.
Sure. Bangalore is one of the largest cities in the south-central part of India. Bangalore is the capital of the state, Karnataka, and Bangalore is also known as the Silicon Valley of Asia. And so there are a lot of IT companies and a lot of tech companies that are in Bangalore. Bangalore right now has approximately about 12 million people in the city alone. And so it is very...
Kind of a small city, right?
In the context of India, not the biggest. So a lot of people continue to come into Bangalore because it is the Silicon Valley of Asia. And so this has presented unique opportunities for us as a ministry, because a lot of different people groups from other states and even other countries pour into Bangalore. But at the same time, God has been using Look Unto Jesus Ministries to grow into other states, which in itself is a privilege, but also a challenge, because each state has its own official language. And so we have to, that becomes a barrier. And so everything that we do, we need translators ourselves sometimes because of the language differences. But we are passionate about reaching the unreached communities in India. I think it was Joshua Project that said approximately there are over 2,300 people groups that have never heard the gospel in India. And so as I grew up being a part of this ministry, it's a burden that the Lord gave me to reach specifically these communities. And the Lord has been gracious in opening doors for us to reach such communities. And the ministry has grown not only in Karnataka, our state, but we continue to grow in our neighboring states like Andhra Pradesh, Tamil Nadu. And we have had a lot of open doors that are inviting us even to come to North India. And so it is a very unique position to be in Bangalore, and it helps you connect with a lot of people groups across India.
You're listening to Exploring Missions, and our guest today is Maurice Singh. He's with Look Unto Jesus Ministries International. And when I think about this, Maurice, I want you to share some stories, one or two, because I know it would take up a lot of time, but still, your mother, at that early time in her life, she saw the children and had a heart for them. And that is still going on now.
Yes, she wanted to rescue these children ever since she was a college student. The Lord gave her a burden. You know, the challenges that we as a ministry faced in rescuing these children 30, 40 years ago is different from the challenges we face now. About 30, 40 years ago, our biggest challenge was poverty, hunger, abuse. But right now, in this day and time, our biggest challenge that the children face on the streets of Bangalore is trafficking. Mm. And a lot of children are trafficked. The very issues that existed 20, 30 years ago, poverty and abuse, those have become the foundation for the children to be sold into trafficking. And in many cases, the sad thing is that it is the parents that actually sell the children so that they could buy their groceries, but in many cases, so that they could go back home and buy their alcohol for that evening. And so in many cases, it's the parents themselves selling the children into trafficking.
So a major challenge that you guys are facing in that realm, any success stories, any kind of victory that God has given for just even a child, someone who has been rescued from that life, and maybe God has worked in their life to redeem them and maybe put them into a, you know, out of the pit and into a, onto a rock? Any sort of story like that?
Oh, absolutely.
Let me see. Which one are you going to tell?
Every child has a unique story because, as I mentioned, Bangalore has over 12 million people, and there are a lot of people everywhere. There is not an empty street that you can walk into. And so when there are so many people, it is estimated in Bangalore alone that there are over 1.5 million children on the street that are abandoned. Wow. And so a lot of times when we rescue a child, the first question the child asks us, why? Because there are millions of people that are walking past them and not paying attention to them or loving on them. And when we rescue them, it almost makes them skeptical because they've been through hardship, they've been abused, they've been taken advantage of. And so when we rescue a child, the first question the child wants to ask is why. And we make it a point to let him or her know the reason that we are doing what we're doing is to show them the love of Jesus Christ. And so that stays really firm on their conscience, on their heart. And when they grow up in our home, and, you know, as you would ask a child, what do you want to do when you grow up? And most of them, the majority of them, respond by saying, when I grow up, I want to go back and serve that Jesus that rescued me from the street. Let me share with you one quick story about a child that we've rescued. It is a story of a girl, a five-year-old. Her name is Vandana. And she was in a home where the father was an alcoholic. And he would spend all his money on alcohol every day. The mother worked in the farm for daily wages, but the father was so addicted to the alcohol, he would spend more money than he had on alcohol. A lot of times he started doing was he would sell things from their home so that he could go buy alcohol. Eventually, he had finished selling everything, and he did not know how he was going to generate more money for his alcohol. And he began setting his eyes on his five-year-old daughter. One afternoon, when the mother had gone to work and the daughter was at home, he asks her to come and have lunch with him. And the innocent five-year-old does that. Little did she know that he had mixed sedatives in that girl's meal. And when she ate that meal, she passed out, and he took her to the local market in the village where they bring the kind of a fresh market where all the farmers bring their harvest and sell. He took her there, laid down a towel on the ground, and laid her over there, and he was selling her for $10 so that he could buy his alcohol for that evening. And during that process, she begins to gain consciousness. And that five-year-old began to realize something was not right. She gets up and starts running from her own father as fast as she could. She was running as her father was chasing her. She ran and ran and ran. And that poor five-year-old became so tired. She knocks on a door, on a random door, because she was so thirsty, running in the hot, sunny road in India. And when she knocked on the door, fortunately, it happened to be one of our pastors that works with us. And they talk to her and find out what was going on, and they take her in the house, and then they eventually brought her to us. And when they brought her to us, it's a process every time we rescue a child, depending on their story. There is a time for them to heal and recover from all that they've dealt with. And a lot of times, this child, this girl, would not mingle with other children or participate during worship. And we were not even sure, you know, what was going on in her mind, the trauma that her own father had was trying to sell her. And one day I remember as I was walking through the campus and I was passing one of the rooms, I heard somebody humming a song. I knew all the children were on in the playground playing, and I was wondering where that was coming from. And I looked through the window, and it was Vandana humming the song, "There is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood." And as I heard her sing that alone in that room, I knew the Lord was doing a work in her. Today, she is in college, and she's about to graduate. And what she wants to do is to go back to her own community, even back to her own father that was trying to sell her, and tell him about the love of Jesus Christ.
Wow. Amen. That's incredible.
When you hear stories like that, Nathan, it lets us know what's going on, but also what we need to be aware of, mm-hmm. of children even everywhere, mm-hmm. that there are traffickers out there, and we need to be mindful of them. And so Jesus puts a premium on children, doesn't he?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, one of the episodes with Jesus and his disciples, his followers, was that lesson that when you come to the kingdom, you come as a child. And so Jesus paid special attention and care and love for children, and I believe a ministry like yours that does that as well is a lot like Jesus in that way. You know, the ministry that you are a part of, Look Unto Jesus Ministries, I was thinking about this. As we look unto Jesus, what is one of the things that we will see as we look to him? You know, as we spend time with him, as we abide in him, as we are in his presence and we listen to him and watch and see what he does, this might be something that we see. When this is in John 4, he says to his disciples, "Don't you say there are still 4 more months? Then comes the harvest. Listen to what I'm telling you. Open your eyes and look at the fields, for they are ready for harvest." So I think as we look unto Jesus, we will see and hear Jesus say, "Hey, look at me, that's good, but also look at the need and the harvest fields around you. They're ready for harvest." Maurice, as you have talked about reaching unreached people groups around you, what are some of the things that you have seen Jesus doing in the harvest field? What is the harvest field like in that part of India where you serve?
Well, I think it is very appropriate that you brought up that text, and it is because it is something that I want to talk about because, you know, India has a lot of challenges for believers and for people in the ministry. India, a lot of Christians in India go through persecution. And when you talk about missions and ministry in India, even here in the United States, a lot of people are hesitant because of those challenges. But the harvest is plentiful. Yes, there is incredible challenges. The harvest is, let me share with you a quick story, and I think that would illustrate my point, because the Lord is at work, and no matter what is going on in India, the Lord is at work in the lives of people, and he is working beyond the challenges that we would think as obstacles, and he is working beyond that because he is a sovereign Lord. A few weeks ago, when we were in India, we were having a house prayer meeting with a group of believers. During that time, A lot of people in the community came, and we were sharing the gospel with them, and we had a time of worship. And in the midst of that, there was a lady that walked in, almost kind of broke into that house, and she looked at us with this desperate look on her face, and she was like, "Where is Jesus? I'm looking for him." And she was very genuinely desperate with what she was saying. And so some of them started, you know, smiling and laughing because she was actually looking for the person of Jesus Christ. And so she came to me and I said, why are you looking for Jesus? Well, what do you need? And then she sat down with me and briefly shared her life story with me. She said a few months ago, her husband passed away. And after he passed away, her children and their families took away all the wealth that her husband had left for her to survive. They were not rich people, but they just took away everything, the house and property and everything. And this really broke her heart that her own children and their families would take away everything. She was so brokenhearted, she decided that she was going to commit suicide. So one day she leaves the house, and so she goes into the woods, into the forest, and she decides that she's going to commit suicide there. And when she is there and she's about to hang herself, she hears a loud and clear voice that said, "Stop, don't hang yourself. I will take care of you, and I am Jesus." This lady knew nothing about Jesus Christ at all. Nobody had told her anything. And she thought it was actually somebody called Jesus in person over there. She looks around to find Jesus. She couldn't find. She just heard the voice. And so she is so desperate, she goes to the neighboring village to see if Jesus had gone to that village. She couldn't find Jesus there. And so she went to the village next to that, trying to find Jesus, and she couldn't find. She had been traveling for 3 days from village to village looking for Jesus. And so she came to me when we were during that prayer meeting, and she said, "I'm looking for that Jesus. He stopped me from committing suicide." Wow. And so I was able to share the gospel with her, and I was able to tell her who Jesus is and how she can find him. And she surrendered her life to Christ that afternoon. And she started following wherever we went because she did not have a home to go back to. She did not have a family to go back to. Our home became her home. Our family became her family. But you could look at the satisfaction on her face that she had found the Jesus that she was looking for. And I could share with you story after story that just happened a few days ago when I was in India. The Lord is working in the midst of his people, but he's looking for people like you and I to go and reap the harvest, because it doesn't matter who it is, where it is, what kind of a nation it is. The Lord wants them to know him.
You know, when I hear that story, you can't help but think about the Philippian jailer when Paul cried out, "Do yourself no harm, we're still here." Jesus speaks. He spoke then, he speaks now. And when I hear this, Maurice, I want to get to, as we come to about the last 4 minutes, 3 minutes, the ministry you have to pastors is real. And you're able to do that because of modern technology?
Yes. I train pastors to go into these unreached locations. And it is a challenge for these pastors as well. In my state alone, it is estimated that there is an average of 70 pastors that get killed every month. And so these pastors, when they make a commitment, they're making a commitment even unto death, and that's the kind of commitment. And so I have a burden for them, and I have been teaching God's word and equipping them to go and minister into these unreached communities. And the Lord has opened a lot of doors for us to teach them. And I use modern means as online Zoom and online teaching. And we also do a lot of recordings and make it available for them digitally. And we're also using online mediums, private channels to teach them. And it has been an incredible tool in reaching a lot of these pastors.
Wow, that's incredible. So there's a lot for us to be praying for you and with you as you serve. We've been talking today with Maurice Singh, Look Unto Jesus Ministries. Can you tell us, our listeners, the best ways to connect with you? Maybe they hear this and they want to respond in some way and help in some way. Or they want to pray more specifically. What are some of the ways they can connect?
Sure. We do have a website that is lujm.org, and you will find our contact information on this website, and you should be able to reach us. And that website has all the details you need, including email and phone number, in order for you to reach. And my prayer would be that to all the listeners, irrelevant of if the Lord leads you to be involved with Look Unto Jesus Ministries or not, we need your prayers, because this is a spiritual warfare. And if you're listening to this, I would beg you to lift us in your prayer every day.
Give us that website one more time, because I know people, oh, I didn't get that. I need to write it down. Give it to us one more time.
It is LUJM, which stands for Look Unto Jesus Ministries. .org.
And we want you to tell your family how much we love them and we care for them, and we're asking God to do a great work. And in this work, we're seeing God do great things. So we're going to have you back so that we can hear some more of those stories, yeah, Nathan.
That's right. It's incredible what God is doing. Even right now as we speak, you're here in the U.S., but even in India, God is still at work. He uses you, but he's not even dependent on you.
Yes.
And he's not depending on any of us to carry out his harvest. But man, isn't it so sweet and full of joy to be a part of that?
It is, absolutely, and it's worth every bit of it.
Thank you for being with us, Maurice.
It's an honor to be here. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to Exploring Missions, and may you stay on mission for God wherever and however he would have you to be involved.